Good morning, KGNU listeners. I'm Roz Brown. In just about 2 weeks, Boulder voters will decide the issue of whether the city goes forward with pursuing a citizen-owned and controlled electric utility to support green energy and fight climate change and serve as a model for other communities, or if after 7 years it's time to scrap the Muni project, give up spending money and time, and like many other cities, work more closely with Xcel to develop clean energy. To talk about this very important issue facing voters, Leslie Glestrom and Will Tour have joined me. Leslie is here in the studio, and Will Tour is on the phone with us. Will Tour has served as both a Boulder City Council member and Boulder County Commissioner. He is opposed to the issues on the November ballot. Will serves as the director of the transportation program at the Southwest Energy Efficiency Project, otherwise known as SWEEP. He previously spearheaded the effort to create and adopt a countywide sustainable energy plan, the Build Smart Green Building Code, the Energy Smart Program, and the Climate Smart Loan Program. Leslie Glestrom is with Empower Our Future and has been involved in climate change and clean energy issues for decades. She is in favor of the ballot issues. She is a trained biochemist and has spent over 30 years working at the interface of science and society in a variety of roles, including science writing, teaching, policy analysis. In addition, she has a long history of activist work on a variety of environmental issues. Now, what you need to know is that there are three ballot measures facing Boulder voters on November 7th related to municipalization, and they are called 2L, 2D, and 2P. 2L is an extension and increase of the utility occupation tax to continue funding the city's exploration of municipalization. 2O amends the charter to ensure final voter approval prior to issuing bonds. And 2P extends council's authority to hold executive sessions to discuss legal strategy related to municipalization. Now, as many of you probably know, there are two pretty polarized positions on this issue, and probably many in between, but the two main positions are take the off-ramp and give up on municipalization to save money, possible lawsuits, city staff time, etc., and instead work with Xcel. And to some extent, trust Xcel to do the right thing. The second position is to go the distance and don't give up on what was started in 2011 and continue working to have local control of municipal utilities. We have two very different opposing opinions on this. Will, you are on the phone today. Let us start with you and ask you your position in being opposed to the ballot issues on the November 7th ballot.
Sure. I'm happy to do that. I do want to start by just saying I hate to be debating with my good friend Leslie Glestrom, and this is one of those issues.
Let's not then.
Where many of us in the environmental community who typically are on the same side on almost everything, you know, have ended up being in somewhat different positions, and I want to acknowledge that that's uncomfortable. You know, I completely share the goals behind municipalization, and back in 2011, I supported the municipalization effort, wrote an op-ed in favor, voted for it, thought that it held some real promise. But I've become convinced that it is simply too time-consuming and expensive to be a replicable model that can help reduce carbon emissions at the speed and the scale that we need. You know, when this issue was approved back in 2011, the expectation was that we would have a municipal utility up and running by the end of 2017. And, you know, that's clearly not happening. You know, we're basically still at stage one, you know, working to get PUC approval of the separation plan. And at this point, I think the best guess, if we continue forward, is that best case scenario, there we might have a muni up and running 22 or 2023. And given what we've found so far, which is that there are so many procedural obstacles to moving forward, I think it's likely to be longer than that. You know, the whole reason for doing this is the urgency of action on climate change. And I think that the time scale of this process turns out not to line up well with that urgency. The other piece to it is that in order for Boulder's actions to really make a difference, what they need to do, I believe, is to help move the entire larger system and to create a replicable pathway that other cities can follow. And again, I think it was a reasonable experiment 6 years ago. Is this something that can be done relatively quickly and, you know, not for free, but at a reasonable cost that other cities might look at and say, boy, we can do this too. But given that I think we're now finding that it's probably a 15-year process from initiation to end, requiring, you know, far more investment than we originally anticipated, I just don't see that that's something that's going to move the system. At the same time, I think there's a lot that's changed in the world of electricity generation and electric utilities. The cost of wind and the cost of solar have continued to come down dramatically, which has really changed utility economics, and I think has created the opening that is allowing big utilities to start making major changes to their generation mix. And we've got the proposal that Xcel has before the Public Utilities Commission right now to close two more coal plants and to add about 1,700 megawatts of wind and solar as the projection, which for comparison, you know, Boulder's entire load is around 300 megawatts. So this is a lot of wind and solar. And so I don't think it is any longer the case that the utilities are just going to be stuck doing what they've always done in the past. I think that there's a real opportunity, and with Boulder pushing them and working with other cities to push them even further, to really move the entire system fairly rapidly, not fast enough. I mean, nothing that we're doing is fast enough to deal with some challenge of climate change. But nonetheless, I think there's an opportunity to move the whole system towards lower carbon emissions and more renewables. And I think that's what we should be focused on.
All right. Thank you, Will. Leslie, let's go to you. Let's get a summary from you as to why you are in favor of continuing with the municipalization plan.
Thanks so much, Roz, and thank you so much to KGNU and to KGNU listeners for taking the time to think about this, to get really serious about this absolutely essential decision facing our community. I have to adamantly disagree with Will on every point that he made. So I think they sound good, but when you actually look at them, these concerns that are expressed by the opponents, particularly of ballot measure 2L, don't really hold up. So just to be clear, ballot measure 2L, we have 2L, 2O, and 2P. 2L extends what we call the utility occupation tax for 5 years. It sounds a little scary on the ballot because it says, oh, shall we increase taxes by $4 million a year? Basically, $4 million in the first year, $3 million in the second. That sounds a little scary. Whenever you're working with utilities, you're always working in millions of dollars. So what it comes down to per person is about $2 a month increase for the next 2 years on your utility bill. And one of the key points we need people to understand is that a no vote means that we'll be working with Xcel basically for eternity. It would be an irreversible loss of our opportunity to break away from Xcel, to create a nonprofit utility, a utility that takes the profit out, and that brings our decision-making home so that we're making our decisions here in Boulder. We can call up our city council people, we can show up at city council, we can run into people in the coffee shop. Currently, all those decisions are made down at the Utilities Commission. A no vote would consign us to very large legal expenses going out basically forever until Xcel disappears or whatever. And so we've got a very small amount of money in the short term versus very large amounts of money in the long term. And for example, what we don't hear it from the Daily Camera, we don't hear it from the opponents of 2L, is a no vote on 2L means that we are going to be subject to Xcel's rate increases. Just last month, the Utilities Commission approved a $3 a month increase in our bills because fossil fuel costs are going up. That happened with less than 5 minutes of deliberation. It happened down in Denver. And again, the utility occupation tax is a $2 a month. So they did it in 5 minutes. We take a whole election and have endless events and discussions and debates over a $2 a month and a 5-year extension. In addition, Xcel is going in for a 9.6% rate increase. That'll take over $9 million a year out of our community from now until, quote unquote, forever. Obviously, it's not forever because the world will change at some point, but for the foreseeable future, Xcel is asking for over $9 million more a year out of Boulder, our share of their proposed rate increase. Again, the entire utility occupation tax that it's in 2L is $17 million. So all it takes is 2 years of Xcel's rate increase, and we will counterbalance the utility occupation tax. If they only get 2/3 of their rate increase, well, then it takes us 3 years. But once Xcel gets a rate increase, it pretty much stays in. They've had numerous rate increases over the last decade. Their after-tax profits have doubled from a little over $200 million a year to over $400 million a year. That's all money that's come out of our pockets. And so those are the big numbers. We kind of refer to this as little potatoes and big potatoes. The opponents of 2L want you to be really concerned about the little potatoes. Those of us that work carefully on this, study all of these things, pay attention, believe that that's a very deceptive position. It implies that somehow if you vote no on 2L, costs will go away. That's absolutely false. If you vote no on 2L, what you'll be doing is consigning our community to very large costs for a very long time. And they might talk about, oh, it's $300 million worth of debt. Well, that debt is paid off with the revenue that currently we're writing our checks to Xcel or doing our online payments to Xcel. That revenue would then come to the city. You use it to pay off the debt. They imply that somehow that debt could just magically be used to build more solar or more electric vehicle charging stations or whatever. They sent out a mailer yesterday. It's completely deceptive because that $300 million is only available if you're going to have the revenues from the utility. It's not like we have $300 million sitting around and we're deciding what to do with it. A 2-0 is the second ballot measure. That provides a vote. So what we're doing this year is just deciding whether to continue the process. And no, I don't like paying money to attorneys either, but I sure wish Xcel would quit using every legal strategy they possibly can to obstruct our constitutional right to form a municipal utility. I've watched all of this. It would take hours to explain it, but you can assume that Xcel has a vast number of attorneys, and we're paying for their cost for the most part. And those attorneys are being used to obstruct our path. Yes, that has made our path longer than we expected. It's made it more expensive. Those are small potatoes compared to the large costs we'll have if we stay with Xcel. Will's talked about Xcel's proposal to move to higher levels of renewables. Obviously, I welcome that. I will note that they did not go public with that proposal until after Boulder rejected Xcel's quote-unquote last and best offer of settlement in April. Many KGNU listeners were there on April 17th at City Council. The tape is on the city's website, where everyone, but particularly the one that impressed me the most, was our high school students, looked at Xcel's quote-unquote last and best offer. It was 15 months of secret negotiations. And the high school students looked at it and said, there's no way to enforce this. Do not take this. Everybody else said that too. But what impressed me is that high school students with about 2 weeks of notice were able to read through it and understand all this. So Will holds out, oh, we can just talk to Xcel like Denver is. Well, you know, Xcel's always willing to talk. The question is, will they make a commitment, a true commitment that's enforceable? But unless you have leverage, you don't really get anywhere. Voting yes on 2L maintains our leverage. It keeps our options open. A no vote is likely to foreclose the option of forming a local electric utility basically forever. It'll be an irreversible loss. And so yes, this has taken longer and it's cost a bit more, again, small potatoes, compared to the money we'll be responsible for if we stay with Xcel. Money that the Daily Camera refuses to report on. We have sent them Xcel's testimony showing here's what's actually going on down at the Utilities Commission. And they write us back emails that are close to obscene, telling us to, you know, go to the hot place. So we just aren't getting balanced reporting from the Daily Camera. Really appreciate KGNU doing this. So we want to keep this process moving forward. We aren't deciding whether to form a municipal utility in 2017. We are just deciding to finish the process to get the final numbers. 2-0 provides another vote of the community before the city would actually issue the debt that would create the municipal utility. If we find out that the cost is way too much, then I'm not going to be in favor of it. No one wants to challenge Boulder's AAA bond rating. But we have every reason to believe that we will be like communities like Winter Park, Florida, They fought a massive legal battle in Florida to break away from their incumbent utility. It was just as frankly ugly as ours. They're a smaller community than ours, so they bore all of that with a smaller community. They municipalized in 2005, and they love it. They say this was the best decision we ever made. We have lower rates. We have higher reliability. We're making money. We control our own decisions. So we encourage KGNU listeners to vote yes to keep our options open, to maintain our leverage with PUC, to avoid the swamp of costs that would occur if we were to vote no on 2L, and to avoid that irreversible loss of keeping our options open, bringing our decision-making home, building a truly 21st century utility.
We are hearing a debate today about the municipalization ballot issue coming your way in November if you are a resident of Boulder. And we have Will Tour on the phone today and Leslie Glustrom in our studio here at KGNU. Will, I want to go back to you. You said that Xcel won't be doing what they've always done. And of course, you can respond to what Leslie was saying. But we now, since we started this process in the city of Boulder 7 years ago, we now have a president in the White House who's very much a climate change denier. He also has put someone in ahead of the EPA, Scott Pruitt, who's also a climate denier. The Paris Climate Agreement has gone away. And it kind of seems like they're trying to encourage cheaper fossil fuels. And that would be a great incentive for somebody like Xcel to just slow down their switch to renewables. And we wouldn't really get what we want. So tell the listeners why you have faith that Xcel will change what it's always been doing and will do something different.
So Trump is obviously the biggest disaster that could befall our climate. Luckily for us, most decisions about electricity generation are made at the state level, not the federal level. And the places where Trump could sort of really screw up electric utilities, unfortunately, are things that will affect us, whether we are getting our electricity from Xcel or whether we created a municipal utility. I think that what happened with Xcel was that after spending millions of dollars back in 2004 to oppose a renewable portfolio standard that required them to create, 10% of their electricity by 2020 had to come from renewables, when they lost that, instead of continuing to fight, they looked and said, this isn't actually that hard, and we can make money off of doing this. And since then, what we've seen is that Xcel then worked with the environmental community to increase the renewable standard to 20%, and then they worked with it to increase the renewable standard to 30%, and they now have a proposal that will bring them up to 55%, and they're not doing it because they're nice guys. They're doing it because, A, they've realized that this is what many of their customers want, and B, they've realized we can make money doing this. And it means making this enormous transition from burning gasoline in cars and burning natural gas in buildings to electrifying all of that and taking away that market of hundreds of billions of dollars per year. They're going to fight like heck. And I think we need every ally we can get in that fight. And I think electric utilities actually stand to gain immensely by electrifying transportation and heating and taking away that market for fossil fuels. And in the big picture, I think we need to be focused on how do we get the incentives right for electric utilities so that they are our allies in that fight and so that they will throw their political clout against the fossil fuel interests. And I actually think that's critical to being able to move forward in climate change in the big picture. So just a few other comments on kind of that local situation. Ultimately, I think at this point, we really don't know what the cost picture looks like. It is possible that the numbers will work out for municipalization. What we've seen is that the costs have continually been substantially higher than initially anticipated. And it's not just the legal costs. It's the separation costs, which at this point we now believe will be over $100 million. In the early estimates, that was $15 million. It's the transition costs, which we're now thinking are, you know, $15 to $30 million. Originally thought that those were going to be less than $5 million. We really don't know what the ultimate cost of condemnation will be. We don't know what stranded costs will be. So depending on how those come out, it is possible that in the end you would have a system that would be comparable in cost or lower than staying with 6L, or it might be substantially higher. But to me, that's not really the driving issue. The driving problem here is that the timeline and the cost of the process are so high that it just does not create a pathway that can move the entire system. You know, what Boulder does on its own affects, you know, 4% of XL electricity generation. What we can do that helps move other cities and helps move the whole system can affect that other 96%.
Leslie, would you like to respond to that?
You began with a question about our president. And yes, I think it's a key question because clearly we're not going to be making progress at the federal level in the near future. We're going to be doing all we can to just sort of hold our own if we're lucky. The same is frankly true at the state level, both at the legislature and at the Utilities Commission. The legislature in particular, we just have not made very much progress on electricity issues over the last 7 years. All around the country, people realize that what's really essential is that these local experiments keep moving forward. Again, we're not deciding whether to form a municipal utility in 2017. We're deciding whether we should keep that option open and whether we should keep our leverage. Will keeps talking about how do we move the entire system? How do we move the entire system? Well, a lot of KGNU listeners know that I've been working to move the entire system for a very long time. And the only thing that frankly has really worked is the Boulder municipalization effort. When you sit down at the table with XL, you are in such a weak bargaining position. The only way to get things is to do things like, frankly, our environmental groups have done, which is to say, we'll let you build a coal plant if you'll do a little thing for us. And that's no kind of way to bargain. If we're going to bargain with a very large industry, a monopoly, that gets over $3 billion of revenue out of Colorado every year, $460-odd million of after-tax net profits, you've got to have leverage. Now, if somebody gives me $1 billion, I would find another way to get leverage. But in the meantime, the only leverage we have is the willingness of communities to say, you need to accelerate the rate of decarbonization or we will break away from you. And so that has actually given us great leverage. We might notice that pretty much everything XL has offered has happened as we have approached yet another milestone moving forward. The 55% renewables came the day before we were going to hear the decision out of the Utilities Commission. It came a couple months before election. We've seen this over and over and over again. And each time we say, thank you very much, that's nice progress, but this is a crisis and we need to be moving much faster. And we need to be doing it in a way that also, so many of us in Boulder, because we've seen how the Utilities Commission works. We've seen how XL's attorneys have played every card to drive up our separation costs. Yes, they have gone up. That's because XL refuses to do basic standard things like joint use of poles. And they just look the commissioners in the eye and say, in so many words, if you make us do that, we'll take you to court and we'll win, because they basically own the judicial system. So the only leverage we have is to continue this process. The only hope we have to bring decision-making home is to not vote no in 2017, because it's an irreversible loss. So while the separation numbers have gone up, again, when you're working in the utility business, it's still not big potatoes. We're going to have over $100 million of revenue every year. You use that to pay off the bonds. When you're bonding over 20 or 30 years, that increase in the separation cost doesn't do very much. The city has a financial forecast tool on their website. You can go in there. You can change these numbers and you can see, oh, it doesn't actually have a very big impact. But what has had a huge impact, the largest cost to any utility, a municipal utility or electric or XL, is the cost of generation. And Boulder wanting to move to very high levels of renewable energy, The costs of wind and solar have plummeted since 2011, so all of our financial analyses just continue to look better and better, frankly, because we would be able to move away. Yes, Xcel has made some progress. Will talked about how they've increased the portfolio standard. Well, while they were doing that, they were also spending $1.5 billion, a billion meaning 1,000 million. Now we're talking big potatoes. They spent $1.5 billion on coal plants in the last decade. Since 2005, they've built the billion-dollar coal plant, Comanche 3 in Pueblo, and another $500 million on retrofits for old coal plants that should have been retired. Coal plant in Pueblo is probably what's keeping the lights on in your coffee shop or wherever you're sitting right now, because they built in Pueblo because they would never build it in Boulder, but it serves the Denver metro area. And if we stay with Xcel, we know, frankly, barring a political miracle, we will be responsible for those stranded assets and many billions more of let me call it hundreds of millions, many hundreds of millions more of stranded assets that we know will be responsible for, because those fossil fuel assets are going to one after another become stranded assets. Again, if we want to move the entire system, first of all, we're going to do that over the next 3 to 4 years anyways, because we're not pulling away from the PUC process now. But those of us that work carefully on this have seen the only way to get leverage has been what we've done here in Boulder. Want to thank KGNU listeners, because you've been amazing and have understood these things and have taken the time to educate yourselves and to dig deeper and to not go with superficial arguments. So again, thanks to KGNU for doing this.
So Will, you want to respond to the leverage issue that Leslie was speaking about?
Yes. I think at this point, I do not believe that Boulder has much leverage in this process. I think there was a time when Boulder did have substantial leverage back in 2013 after the initial vote, but before any of the legal battles had begun, in which Boulder has had tactical loss after tactical loss. At that point, I think that the Boulder municipalization effort not only appeared that it could potentially be successful, but that it could be successful over a time scale and at an expense which other communities might follow. As we have, again, lost tactical battle after tactical battle, none of them are a knockout blow, but each one is enough to sort of make it clear that this is not something that the city is likely to prevail on in a reasonable time frame and at a reasonable cost. So I actually think that we can get more done by ceasing the municipalization effort now and focusing on those near-term opportunities.
All right. Thank you, Will. Leslie, I see you writing furiously over there. You would probably like to respond to that.
But again, I just have to agree, disagree adamantly with Will. Actually, we are in a very strong position now. Xcel did everything they could to try to keep us from getting through the Public Utilities Commission. That's what's dragged it out. The city attorneys fought week in and week out, gave endless nights and weekends to this process. And we are now through the biggest part of the PUC process. You can read the PUC's press release, which says, you know, we've crafted a path forward for Boulder. You can read the city's analysis on their website. We don't have time to go into the details, but there is a very thoughtful and balanced process for moving forward. It's actually a very exciting time. So we actually have a lot of leverage. And so, again, I just have to disagree adamantly with Will's analysis. It goes on and on. But that we're at a pivotal point in our community where we're going to decide whether services like electricity and broadband are public goods controlled by the public for the public. Now, that is going to be a contentious process because we're Boulder, but we will be making the decisions. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. We need to wrap this up. So, Will, I'm going to ask you, what do you want to tell voters on November 7th, or probably prior to that, since they are receiving their mail ballots now? What would you tell them about how to vote on November 7th?
You know, I would urge Boulder voters to vote no on 2L. That our best path forward to a large-scale transition to clean energy is through ending the municipalization process and focusing our time, energy, and resources on moving the entire system towards greater levels of renewables.
Leslie, when you want to take a crack at that, just a minute or less, of what you would tell voters for November 7th?
Absolutely. Please vote yes on 2L. Keep our options open. Keep our leverage with Xcel. Don't assume that somehow we can trust Xcel. This is a crisis. We need to have an and approach. both what we're doing in Boulder and what we're doing to move the bigger system. Please vote yes on 2L, keep our options open, keep our leverage. And again, thanks to KGNU listeners.
You've been listening to a debate about the very important municipalization issues facing Boulder voters in 2 weeks' time. Our guests have been Leslie Glustrom and Will Tour, and I've been your host, Roz Brown. Thanks for joining us, and remember to vote in the November 7th election.